We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four contestants to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without deviation from the subject on the card, and without repetition. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will gain points. And if you don't already know the game, the rest will, I'm sure, become obvious as we play it. And this week, we're going to begin with our lady, Sheila Hancock. Will you start the show this week? And the subject that Ian has thought of for you is lights. Can you talk to us for 60 seconds on lights, starting now?
When I was a little girl, it was one of my dreams to have my name in lights up outside a theatre. When I grew up, however, and I saw that happen, I just stood there and said, so what? However, my father took a photograph of it and carried it in his wallet until the day he died, so it was worth it after all. In the theatre...
Kenneth Williams, you have challenged one.
Hesitation?
Yes,
breathing.
I agree.
Oh, no, definitely hesitation.
I've got
definitely.
A bad
I think there's no question about it, is there, Nicholas?
There's no question about it. No, I think she'd moved us so much with
yes,
the story.
Yes, it was moving, but moving. She hesitated, yes.
And she hesitated.
Yeah, definitely.
She didn't move fast enough.
No, exactly.
Kenneth, I agree with your challenge, so you gain a point for a correct challenge.
Oh, good. Oh, and I might win.
You might. You won before, and you might again. And you take over the subject, which is lights, and there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
Well, of course, most people know this in conjunction with the liver. Liver and your lights.
Freud has challenged. Why?
Two livers.
Yes, there were two livers. You can only have one liver, you know. In this game, that is. Clement Freud, I agree with your challenge, so you gain a point and you take over the subject. There are 31 seconds left for lights, starting now.
Kidneys, on the other hand...
Peter Jones has challenged one.
Not talking about the other hand. Supposed to be talking about the liver.
Yes. So what is the challenge, Peter?
Are you saying deviation?
Deviation.
Yes.
I don't think, truthfully, he had quite a chance to establish... that this kidney business, which is probably, on the other hand, something else. But
well, once he'd established it, it would have been much too late.
It'd have been too late for you to get in, Peter,
yes.
But I think it was a very good attempt, but I'm afraid, as only 3 seconds have gone, I must disagree with the challenge, leave with Clement Freud, who's gained another point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 28 seconds left, Clement, starting now.
Come under the loose heading of offal, spelt O...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Was it hesitation?
Not quite, no. I'm sorry, Sheila. It wasn't like yours, I'm afraid. 25 seconds to continue with lights, Clement, starting now.
If you go north towards the Hebrides, you are likely early in the morning to catch across the shimmering waves a sight of flickering lights. And there's many a navigator who has thought this was nothing worse than a mermaid, when all the time it was the northern lights breathing down, tinkling at sailors.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
That was hesitation.
That was hesitation. And Sheila, you've done what Clement Freud has often been accused of, which he does very cleverly, got in not only just before the whistle, half a second before the whistle.
Well, the hesitation, I'd like to say, was waiting for the whistle.
Ah,
well, you
seemed
don't normally wait for it, Clement.
Seemed about time it blew.
So, Sheila Hancock, I agree with the challenge. You have half a second for lights, starting now. The whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at the moment the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and this occasion it was Sheila Hancock. Sheila, you now have 2 points, but you're one behind Clement Freud, who is the leader at the end of the first round. Peter Jones, will you begin the second round? Swashbuckling. That's thrown you back on your heels, I think, slightly, Peter, but will you come out in a swashbuckling manner and talk about that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
The buckling is a useful, nutritious, appetizing, smoked fish which can be used in lieu of hors d'oeuvre or the inevitable soup. by a host who is anxious to please his guests. And it is a useful alternative.
Clement Freud has challenged why?
Useful.
Yes, we've had more than one useful, I'm afraid, Peter. So I must agree with the challenge. Clement gains a point on the subject, which is swashbuckling. Clement, 41 seconds left, starting now.
Before I was enrolled as one of Robin Hood's new young men, I went in...
Sheila Hancock's challenge, why?
Don't believe he was ever...
Quite right, Sheila.
A very old young man.
He was ever enrolled as one of... I don't think Robin Hood's new young men exist except in Clement Freud's fertile imagination. So, Sheila, I agree with your challenge. You take the subject of swashbuckling, and there are 36 seconds left.
It's going to be one of those sort of days.
You should buckle your swash crosswise across your front.
Clement Freud's challenged again.
Cross.
No,
across
crosswise
and
across.
Oh, you fool, you should have listened more carefully. She's not a BA for nothing, you know. Oh, she's academic.
Yes, and Clement was trying very hard, but unsuccessfully, so Sheila has another point. 32 seconds for swashbuckling, Sheila, starting now.
Then your trousers will remain up. These were worn by knights of old, and...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. If they were worn by knights of old, they wouldn't have had trousers.
They had trousers underneath their armour.
They weren't trousers, they were tights. They didn't go around in trousers. Knights of old. Knights of old in trousers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying, prithee, knight, here's your trousers?
Well, they didn't have tights either.
Well, breeks.
Well, that's fair enough.
No, I think Kenneth has made his point without any clarification from me. So, Kenneth, you have a point. 25 seconds left for swashbuckling, starting now.
Well, of course, it's good thing it's fallen to me to discuss it because they've misled you all. This does not refer to anything except manner. Swashbuckling manner. Oh, would-be pirate!
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Two manners. Swashbuckling manner. Manners. You said two manners, I'm sure.
Oh,
I think
what
you did.
Shame.
Yes,
I was just getting underway.
I
was going to do a big nautical thing.
So his big nautical thing came to naught, and Sheila has another point of the subject back of swashbuckling, and there are 12 seconds left, starting now.
The reason it has come to mean swaggering and grand now is that if a knight buckled his swash very tightly, he was considered very illustrious because the tight.
Ooh, she's won.
In swashbuckling manner, Sheila Hancock was speaking once again when the whistle went. She was swashbuckling when the whistle went. And so she has now gained a lead of one over Clement Freud, who is in second place, and Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones are trailing a little behind them. Kenneth, it is your... Don't be so... Gosh, you're in the lead. Don't be so nasty.
Darling,
Sheila.
I so seldom win. Let me glory in it. Let me enjoy it.
Let her have a moment, Nicholas. Let her have a moment.
I think she does extraordinarily well. So, anyway, Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin. Sir Francis Dashwood. Now, I must make quite clear, it is the 18th century Sir Francis Dashwood we wish you to talk about, if you can. For 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I don't really know much, but it is laid down in the manual by Thomas Wayne on the subject of the occult that he had this manor house near I Wycombe and invited a load of local dignitaries, including the bishop, to see the relaid gardens. And they all got to the top of this tower, and he said, now I switch it on, and the fountains didn't give water, but milk.
I'm ever so sorry. I thought he was hesitating, and he was sort of saying, give, that, but he wasn't.
Yes,
was
you were very keen, but I'm afraid I disagree with the challenge. So Kenneth has another point, and 30 seconds to continue with Sir Francis Dashwood, starting now.
And as the gardens were laid in the shape of a naked woman, and this milk come out, the bishop was disgusted and left and said, what a filthy crowd here is.
Clement Freud's challenge, what?
Repetition of milk.
Yes, I'm afraid there was a repetition of the milk, so there are 23 seconds left, Clement, for you to continue with Sir Francis Dashwood, starting now.
In many ways, it was significant the holder of England's oldest baronetcy should be the first man publicly to practice black magic, which he did in West Wickham, in the house about which my colleague Kenneth Williams spoke so eloquently until I buzzed him for repeating himself.
Sheila Hancock, you challenge.
Deviation. What? He's talking about Kenneth and himself.
And buzzing and not on
a direct descendant of the Dashwoods.
But his buzzing has got no connection with the Hellfire Club. So, Sheila, I agree with your challenge. You have
she's
Sir Francis Dashwood
she's
back.
Win, you know. Oh, she's going to win.
Well, all right. Maybe she will. So, Sir Francis Dashwood is back in your court, Sheila. And long may you enjoy him. Well, 4 seconds will do, starting now.
They used to come down from the house into the village and take a maiden.
So, once again, Sheila Hancock was speaking when the whistle went, increasing her lead at the end of that round, and now she has a lead of 2 over Clement Freud, who's in second place, and Kenneth Williams creeping up a little into third place, and Peter Jones is still in fourth place. Sheila, it is your turn to begin. The subject is meteorology. Can you... I managed to pronounce it, too. Can you speak on the subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
This is the science of the atmosphere. In other words, it is anything that involves the air and the thing outside.
Clement Freud has challenged you
hesitation.
First. Hesitation,
indeed,
I agree.
Indeed.
So, Clement, you have a point, and the subject, 47 seconds for... 42 seconds for meteorology, starting now.
Meteorology, it would appear, is a word that our chairman is traditionally unable to pronounce, except for this instance when he appeared to have got it correctly.
Kenneth Williams, your challenge.
Deviation. We're not discussing the chairman's pronunciation of the word. We're discussing meteorology.
Now, this is one of those difficult situations. That's quite a good
no,
challenge,
I would
like
I him think. To have it.
You would.
Because he knows it's justified. That's yes. why. Because he's guilty. Yes. He's gone red. Look at his face. He's gone red.
Kenneth, you have a point. It was 52 seconds before. I misread the clock. It is now 42 seconds for meteorology, with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, of course, the most primitive example of this is your weathercock, which always blew in various ways when winds prevailed upon it to do so, and thus the old village rustic would say, ah, 'tis a northeasterly tonight, or some such rubbish. And people then knew that this wind bringing with it... Oh.
Sheila Hancock, child.
Repetition of wind.
Yes, we've had a bit too much wind, I would say.
She's rather apt with Kenneth.
Yes. So, Sheila, I agree with your challenge, and you have the subject back of meteorology, and there are 17 seconds left, starting now.
It was first discussed, I believe, by Plato and later by Aristotle. One person who contributed a lot was Galileo, who invented the thermometer.
Peter Jones's challenge.
Hesitation.
I quite agree, Peter. Well, well, listen, well in there. And there are 8 seconds for you now with meteorology, Peter, starting now.
What a pleasant change it is from the British Museum to visit the Victoria and Albert and see all the meteorites in this...
Well, at the end of that round, Peter Jones is speaking when the whistle went, so he has leapt forward and is still in fourth place.
That's typical of Peter.
Kenneth has leapt a little, but is still in third place. Clement stayed the sill and still in second place. And Sheila moved on progressively like a meteorite with her lead at the end of that round. Conjuring is the subject, and Peter Jones, it is your turn to begin. Can you talk to us about conjuring for just a minute, starting now?
It is an entertaining form of magic.
Sheila Hancock, you challenge.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
How ungallant.
Ungallant.
I disagree.
Wasn't it?
No, he has a...
He's only a man.
Caught his breath and said it's an entertaining form of... magic, and it was beautiful.
Well, when I caught me breath with me bad lungs, you said it was hesitation.
Just yeah, but he's got
no
good lungs, you
chairman,
say.
All right, Sheila, please, all right. Let's have decorum.
Go on, then,
let's have decorum.
Go
please,
on.
Let's have decorum. Yes. I don't like bad manners. I don't like it. I don't come here to indulge
go
in that
on,
kind of
Peter,
thing.
Go on, Peter, you
together,
do it. You hesitate as much as you like.
No. If he hesitates a lot, you better get in, because somebody else will. I don't think there was a hesitation there. I definitely think there was only... 5 seconds gone.
I've given you time to think, though, haven't I?
Yes. Now, with a little bit of magic, carry on with your conjuring, Peter, and there are 55 seconds left, starting now.
And I used to practice it when I was quite a small boy, and I perfected many tricks, which I have since done for my own children. They admittedly got rather bored with me when they were 9 or 10, because they could see how the various tricks worked.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Tricks.
I'm afraid so, yes. We had more than one trick there, Peter. You could have repeated the tricks, you see, with the children, and you repeated them here. Yes. So, there are 40 seconds for you, Clement, with conjuring starting now.
If you can keep your head while all around you...
Kenneth Williams has challenged...
Repetition. We're always having this...
We have it every week.
Oh, no, rubbish. He just resorts to it at every juncture, Nicholas. And it's simply not good enough, Nicholas. It's not good enough. I'm not good enough. This is the same old muck about if you can keep yours when all around are losing theirs. And it's all a load. Load of rubbish.
Well, I will say this, Kenneth. You all have your different ploys of playing for time. And
you've never heard me come out with all that rubbish about when all around are losing theirs.
No, you come out with different rubbish and very entertaining. You have your little ploys, which we all enjoy. We wouldn't want you to change, Kenneth. Don't misunderstand me.
But who gets the point, then?
I don't know. I'm going to ask the audience to be the final judge here, because
what's Clement... the challenge?
What is the challenge, yes?
Repetition.
What?
Of this endless quotation, we're always hearing if you can keep yours.
Well, he
has your watch, and incidentally, who keeps losing it all the time? I don't know. And if he says, it's ludicrous.
Hasn't
you see
actually...
rolling about on the pavement. You'd see a load of eggs, wouldn't you?
Kenneth, actually, to be perfectly fair, he hasn't said it in this particular programme or in this particular round yet. And so
anyway, it's a quotation from Rudyard Kipling. The subject is conjuring, therefore it's deviation.
Well,
so
maybe...
I get the subject now. Come on, give it to me. Give it to me.
You might win it in a moment, but I think, to be fair, he hasn't yet deviated from conjuring, because he actually hasn't even started.
I've come all the way from King's Cross. It's amazing. I'm keeping my time for it. Really.
We'll give you your bus fare back, Kenneth. Right. There are 37 seconds for Clement Freud to continue on conjuring, starting now.
Are pulling rabbits out of their inside pockets, then you, my child, will be a man. Is the sort of poem that was not written by Rudyard Kipling, but a simple observation made on the stage of the Alhambra Theatre in Reading to a packed audience intent on witnessing a conjuring.
Peter Jones, you challenge. Why?
No Alhambra Theatre in Reading.
I hope you've learned something, that you've got to call this fellow's bluff on occasions. He does it with such aplomb, you know. He goes on. We're all laughing at this misquotation from Rudyard Kipling, which he cleverly twisted back to Rudyard Kipling did not say it right. Right, Peter, you have a point, and there are 17 and a half seconds conjuring starting now.
It was, of course, the Palace Theatre in Reading, the Alhambra.
Clement Freud, your chance.
There's no Palace
there
Theatre
is a,
in Reading.
There was a Palace Theatre in Reading, because I played there.
But there was an Alhambra as well.
No, yes, there wasn't. No.
Oh, yes.
Alhambra. No, you're mixing it up.
Well, I'm sorry, Clement, we can't go back as far as you, so... Grenada. Jones has another point.
Grenada.
And there are 14 seconds. 14 seconds for you, Peter, conjuring starting now.
There was a famous Alhambra, and I believe still is, in Bradford.
Sheila Hancock.
Deviation. I don't think this is to do with conjuring.
But he might be going on to say what happened to this famous
Alhambra.
Were you?
Now, be honest, were you?
He was, of course he was.
All right, then.
Sid, written all over his face. 11 seconds for conjuring Peter starting now.
And it was there in Bradford that I saw a famous
Freud challenge. Some of
repetition of Bradford.
Bradford. You see, this
and
is what
Bradford doesn't
when you
exist.
Get challenged,
yeah, but not
Pete.
In this. I mentioned Bradford before.
Yes, but I'm afraid once you mention Bradford, this is the trouble. When someone challenges you, you have to start again. It's very difficult because you want to mention the place again. All you can mention again is the subject on the card.
Oh, I see.
So, I must give it again to Peter. Clement Freud has a point, and 8 seconds for conjuring starting now.
Not only was he wearing a tail suit, but his inside jacket pocket. There was a pigeon.
Sheila Hancock challenged.
We've had jacket pocket before.
We had pocket before. He produced the rabbit from his pocket earlier on. So Sheila.
But in the Alhambra, which doesn't exist. So.
Well tried, Clement, but not good enough. 2 seconds for you, Sheila, on conjuring starting now.
My uncle used to swallow razor blades.
It's getting into a very keen competition because Peter Jones has leapt forward again, this time into third place.
Why do you say he's leapt forward? When I go forward, you say crept.
Maybe it's the different ways you do it, sir. But he actually did gain about 4 points on that round. He did very, very well. So he's overtaken you, I'm afraid, and he's in third place now. And he's a little, just only 2 points behind Clement Freud, who is only 2 points behind our leader, who is still Sheila Hancock. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, sheep's eyes. Well, that's got a nice reaction from the audience. They want to hear you talk about it, Clement, and you have 60 seconds starting now.
If you approach a sheep and gouge out its eyes...
Kenneth Williams, why have you...
I don't want to sit here and listen to a load of filth. These decent people come all this way. Well, look at her there from Shropshire. She don't want to sit there and hear about gouging. A load of gouging. I mean, it's horrible, isn't it? Sheila's gone white. Look at her.
There's a lot of gouging goes on in Shropshire, I can tell.
I come from Shropshire. I've never noticed a lot of gouging any more there than anywhere else.
No. That's why you had to leave.
Anyway, Kenneth, the thing was, he wasn't deviating from the subject of sheep's eyes, however unpleasant it may have been and however offensive. So he keeps the subject, and 55 seconds left, starting now.
They are thought to be something of a delicacy, the only difficulty being that when you serve up sheep's eyes to people, they very often don't believe that they are what you said they were. They are frightened that it is some other part of the anatomy. Equally... concerned.
Kenneth Williams,
with
deviation. He said some other part of the anatomy, whereas the eyes are not a part of the anatomy. So it's deviation.
Well, I think they are part of the anatomy, aren't they?
Of course they're not. They're in the age.
And isn't that your anatomy?
It's part of the anatomy.
Of course it is.
I've never seen an anatomy without a head,
they're
I must say.
They're clapping there. They're clapping. They're students from the College of Art, and that's
yes. I'm going to ask the medical students whether like they think an eye is a part of the anatomy. So
the cranium's not your anatomy, you great fool.
What is it then?
That's your head, isn't it? But anatomy is the body.
All right, shall I put it to the audience?
No, I can't put it to the audience. I was talking a lot of rubbish. You can't possibly put it to the audience.
Oh, well, thank you very much for being so honest, Kelly. So what should we do? Give it to Peter Jones, then?
I'm very grateful for anything, actually.
The one who's in fourth place, actually, is Kenneth Williams. But he's going to... All right, then, Peter Jones, because you come from Shropshire, and I think that's a very good reason for you to take over the subject of sheep's eyes. 35 seconds left, starting now.
And I believe south of the Atlas Mountains, the people there who cook in small tents with charcoal broilers do... cookies.
Sheila Hancock's child.
There was a definite there.
There's a definite so that was a hesitation. Yeah. So, Sheila, you've got the subject of sheep's eyes now, and there are 26 seconds left, starting now.
When my husband was in the Rath, he was invited by a sheikh to have lunch with him. He sat cross-legged on the ground, and the lunch was served, and amongst it was...
Kenneth Williams, your child.
We're just getting a load of procedural rubbish. We're not talking about sheep's eyes at all. This sits cross-legged on the ground. What's that got to do with anything? She's just filling in.
So it was a repetition... So it was a repetition of lunch, was it?
What?
It was a repetition of lunch.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I
know. Oh, that's yes,
repetition
not
of lunch,
fair.
Lunch twice.
He didn't know that, yeah. Clement.
I did. I did. I knew I was reserving
You're
it in my compartment.
Sheep.
He wanted to get his laugh from the audience first before he gave his correct challenge.
Oh, you're siding against me.
Good job.
I'm winning.
Such a row.
You are winning, Sheila, actually, but I think everybody's had a little
Come
bit
on,
of a
I'll
Robin. Fight
on.
You.
I think it's Kenneth's turn to be generous to him.
Go
so
on.
You have 15 seconds, Kenneth, for your throb, and let it go on sheep's eyes starting now.
With the sheep's eyes and the licorice tooth and the strong arms to carry you away. What more beautiful way could you introduce the subject? The look given to you by someone who is fond of you.
Well, at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams leapt forward. And he's still in fourth place.
Oh.
And I'm afraid that's where he's going to remain, because I've just been told by a producer that it's time to wind up. In other words, we have no more time to play Just a Minute. So the final score is that Kenneth Williams finished in fourth place after a final leap, but not to overtake Peter Jones, who finished in third place, who did not manage to overtake Clement Freud, who finished in second place, who didn't manage to overtake Sheila Hancock, who got the lead earlier on and kept it right to the end. And by one point, she is this week's winner, Sheila Hancock. We do hope you have enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.